everybody, and welcome to another episode of Jet Nation Radio. This is Dennis Agapito, and we are really happy to have you aboard for another wonderful hour of Jets talk and news. It's going to be great. There's a lot of things going on. But remember, this is an interactive show, and it doesn't really work without audience participation. So you can join in the conversation on Twitter. It's at Jet Nation Radio. You can also give us a phone call and express your opinions about what's going on with our New York Jets. The number is 646-716-4697. Please hit 1 when prompted. Steve is eagerly awaiting your call. Remember, you can also always find this show on iTunes. Just search Jet Nation Radio. One other thing, I'm sure you know that Jet Nation Radio falls under the umbrella of JetNation.com, a wonderful fan website for the New York Jet fan, and it's very interactive as well. There's a forum. There's a lot of great stories about our New York Jets, videos, things of that nature. It's something for everybody. So if you enjoy the show, you listen each week, please go to JetNation.com and give it a look. I think you'll enjoy it. But without further ado, I want to bring on my good friend, my co-host, an NFL insider, a guy who knows the NFL inside and out, a CBS sports contributor, writes for TheJetsSetter.com, and is also on Twitter. This way you can find him on Twitter, and I suggest you give him a follow. It's TRAUCH21, TRAUCH21, those numbers. Give him a follow on Twitter, my friend, Mr. Tyson Rausch. So, Tyson, is there anything going on with the Jets? Anything going on this week? Any new news? What's happening, my man?
Dennis, I have never received so many angry tweets and emails other than maybe my Sanchez comments last year. But, man, this Mike Vick thing, I mean, he's a polarizing figure. I think he's created a lot more emotion than Tebow has because Tebow, many didn't think he could play. It was more of like a headline grab. This is a situation where Vick can actually play. So, I guess, Dennis, let me start with this. I think today Rex Ryan dropped the ball. And here's why I'm going to say that. As you know, I defended the signing of Mike Vick. I think it's good competition. I think it makes sense with Mornhinweg. Yes, he's a turnover machine. Yes, he gets hurt. But for a backup quarterback giving Geno Smith competition, I think it made smart. For Rex to come out today and say, if Michael Vick can start week one, he says yes. Then he follows it up with saying, is there a chance there could be a package with Geno and Vick on the same field at the same time? Yes. Has Rex Ryan not learned anything from this? I mean, the Tim Tebow fiasco was fueled by Rex's dumb comments and the Jets fueling the media fires. And what does Rex do? Today, with his comments, he generated 85 headlines, stories all over the place. The fans that don't want Mike Vick are twice as pissed off because now they think that he could actually start. I think, to me, I wish Rex would have said, you know what, it's March. Let's see what happens in training camp. We have a long way to go. Let's let it all play out. Or how about this? You know what? It's Geno Smith's job to lose. If Mike Vick beats him out, great, but right now, Geno Smith's our guy. Dennis, could he not have done either of that instead of fueling all these media fires?
Sure, Tyson. But don't sugarcoat it, Tyson. Tell me how you really feel about it.
I mean, seriously, Dennis, I mean, you're sitting here, it's like, the whole thing is, this was the exact thing you don't want if you bring in Michael Vick, was Rex come out and say, you know what, it's an open competition. Mike Vick could be the starter. Why already are we doing this? I mean, right now, I bet your boy Manish Mehta is already making out his little flow charts for snap counts, completion percentage, fumbles in practice. I mean, you know, Manish, I mean, you just see where this is going, and it's already being fueled. I mean, did that not bother you at all?
Maybe Rex could have chose his words better, but you know what, Rex is Rex, and I think, you know, you can take the boy out of Brooklyn, but you can never take Brooklyn out of the boy. So Rex is Rex, and even though, you know, Isaac tries to tone him down a little bit, I think he's still going to kind of speak his mind as best he can. And you know what? I think no matter what he said, probably the media would find some negative way to spin it. I hear you, but if he says, well, it's Geno's job to lose, then is Geno the starter? That, you know, it just there's no way he's going to win with the media. And I think that no matter what he does, there's certain members of the media. And I said a few weeks ago about the mainstream media are liars. Not all of them. Some of them are very good, fair. Some of them are terrible, hate the Jets, and it's very obvious they have a partisan point of view when it comes to the Jets. So I don't think Rex Ryan was going to win one way or the other. But you know what? I want to say this, though, Tyson. I am on board a little bit more with the Vick signing than I was a few weeks back because of a few things. One being the amount of money he got, which he got $4 million, which is very fair for him, a quarterback of his caliber. And, you know, Sean Hill was a guy I was looking at maybe potentially, might have cost a little bit less, could have come in. I found out that now he has this foot surgery. He might miss some off time. And, you know, he doesn't know the system as well as Michael Vick. But here's the thing. And you touched on the Tebow Favre thing. I actually talked to someone with Bergen Record who asked me a little bit about the Jets and the quarterbacks. Always seemed to be a controversy. I said, look, Brett Favre and Tim Tebow were brought in for popularity contests, especially Tebow. Obviously, by the way, the Jets used him, or not used him, or lacked of used him. He was only brought in for one reason, and that was a popularity contest. And you shouldn't make decisions based upon popularity. You should make decisions which are right for the team. And this is why I like John Idzik. Let me just say this right off the bat. I know this for a fact. John Idzik does not care what the media says or what the fans say regarding the team's development and the building of the team. Not that he doesn't care about the fans think about, you know, their enjoyment of the game, et cetera. He will do what he thinks is right to build this team. Not what the media says, not what the fans are screaming for, what he thinks is right. And I love that approach. Now, bringing Michael Vick in my opinion, was the right move given the backup quarterbacks that were on the market, the price, the fact that he knows morning wake system. But there's a great article I just talked about, JetNation.com, written by the CEO and president, Phil Sullivan. Great article on Michael Vick. And he hit the nail right on the head. And I think most people would agree, but when we get the phone callers on, maybe in Jet Nation Radio, Twitter, we could find this out. Most Jet fans, I think, feel this, and the organization as well. They would like to see Geno Smith take the next step, grab this starting job, win it at a training camp, and have Michael Vick be that backup slash mentor, help him with learn Marty Mornaway's complex system. He understands it. He's been in it. And if he has to start a game or two, he could at least hold you in there and win you those games, because Michael Vick is no longer a 16-game starter. And we can go over his numbers a little bit later. But I think that's what the fans want. That's what Phil wrote in his article. And I think that's what the organization wants. So, I mean, again, we're going to bring a caller on in a minute, but don't you feel that way, Tyson, that would ultimately be the best, a 23-year-old taking the next step and showing that he can be the future for this team at the most important position on the field?
I'll take it to another step, Dennis. I think if Geno Smith does not win this job and Michael Vick is a week one starter, the Jets are in trouble. Mm-hmm. And the reason why they're in trouble, that means that Geno Smith's taking a step backwards. And just say Michael Vick does play and he plays 12 games. The franchise quarterback solution is still not there. That means Geno wasn't good for the job. And then we're in deep trouble. And now we're having this conversation again next year, like, who's our quarterback? So I think you're right. I think Jet Nation. And this is kind of why I wanted Rex to say today, you know what? This is Geno's job to lose. He mentioned it before. He's like, well, this Geno's going to be tough to beat. Okay, Rex, we'll follow it up today. You know what? This is Geno's job to lose. If Mike Dick beats him out, he's got to play lights out to do so. You know, kind of build up a kid a little bit. But, Dennis, I honestly believe if Mike Vick starts week one, the Jets are in trouble. I really think that, because he's not a long-term answer, and that means Geno didn't step up. And then to say, what if Vick plays three games and he gets hurt and Geno comes in? I mean, then the true circus. It's a true quarterback competition, and it's going to be controversy every day.
No, listen, I said a long time ago that if number seven doesn't progress, just start the Marcus Mariota, Jameis Winston watch. Rex is out of here. You know, if number seven, if Vic starts, he's never going to make it through the whole season. He hasn't made it through a whole season in three years. Let me just give you these numbers real quick on Michael Vick. And this is why, again, he's a good backup and no longer a starter. Last year, he played in seven games, okay? He had a 54.6 completion percentage for 1,200 yards, five touchdowns, three interceptions, lost two fumbles, okay? Now we're going to go to his replacement, who is Nick Foles, who came in. Played in 13 games, 64% completion, 2,900 yards, 27 touchdowns, 2 interceptions, 120 quarterback rating. Now it's apples to apples when you do this comparison, because Foles had the same line, the same receivers, the same, you know, the same running backs. It isn't like he came in and all of a sudden everything was better on the team. So you could see that Nick Foles actually came in and really produced in that offense when Michael Vick was just kind of mediocre. So you're right. If Michael Vick starts this year, we have a whole host of issues, and it's going to go to 2015, and we're going to be starting all over again if Geno Smith doesn't take the next step. So we're going to have to see. But, yeah, quickly, let's get into this, Tyson, before we take our phone calls. First thing is this. You know, no Jet quarterback has had for their season an over 60% completion percentage since 2008, and that was Brett Favre, All right, he had 65% completion percentage. You know, I mean, I understand Geno likes to throw the ball a little bit deep and he's kind of that middle range. But when you're running West Coast offense, especially today, in today's NFL, I mean, a guy like Matt Cassel can complete 60% of his passes. You know what? The Jets have to start completing more of their – they can't – I mean, Geno was like 56%, and Vic, you know, he has that low completion percentage. I think he's only been over 60% once in his career, and that was 2010 when he had his best year. The Jet quarterbacks have to, and if it's Geno, he has to be completing more balls, period. Otherwise, the offense doesn't work. I know Marty scaled it back and ran a little bit more, but he might want to mix it up and open up the playbook a little bit more. Doesn't mean he has to throw the whole thing at Geno, but they're going to have to throw the ball a little bit more, and they're going to have to complete more passes, get more first downs, and score more points if this team wants to be successful.
No doubt, Dennis. I mean, and that's all the way around. Morning Wade's got to call more plays, and the receivers have to get open. I mean, this is where it's going to be – it's a cumulative effort for this offense to develop.
Uh-huh.
I mean, Decker's going to help that. And that's why you almost want to see them add. I mean, we're going to talk about receivers, I'm sure, tonight at some point, but, like, I'd almost want to see him add, like, a Jason Avant, a professional route runner. I mean, guys that are just – they know how to get off the line of scrimmage, they know how to get open, and give Geno reliable, you know, targets that they know where they're going to be at all times. You know, 10-yard out, he's there 10 yards. Not like, you know, just say if Stephen Hill runs a questionable route or, you know, Jeff Cumberland does, you need guys that are going to be there, you know, athletic. And so, I mean, I agree Geno has to make – you know, the other thing, Dennis, is too, is we need to add a running back that can catch the ball out of the backfield. You know, there's things they need to do to help him. There's ways to improve your completion percentage, a reliable tight end, a good, you know, good reliable big asset over the middle. There's things they can do to help him, but I agree that he's got to improve his accuracy, and Morgan Lake's got to help him along. I mean, no doubt. It's a huge, huge issue for them.
Yeah, and one other quick thing we just want to get into, Mark Sanchez, you know, good luck to Mark Sanchez. I don't know, I like Mark Sanchez a lot personally. I had a chance to cover out in California, like the family. You know what? He had some success here as a quarterback. I think when the team's talent around him diminished a little bit, his warts came out. He'll land on his feet. He'll land a backup job or whatever, and I think he'll be fine. But you know what? The Jets, a lot of people took some heat for this. I think the Jets should have released him a little bit earlier. Look, I can understand trying to work out a trade. I think that at some point in time, people said, well, it's his property. They paid him money. I understand that. But at some point in time, the Jets had to realize that he was not going to get a trade offer for him, and he was not going to be traded. And they never approached him for restructure his contract to stay. It made sense for him not to stay. Look, move on. Ship has sailed. Good luck to Mark Sanchez, and I wish him all the best moving forward. One other quick thing, we're going to go to the callers after this. It's just I want to give the condolences out real quick to the family of Ralph Wilson, the owner of the Buffalo Bills. We know the Bills are division rivals, but still, he passed away today at the age of 95, so our thoughts are with the family. You know, condolences to them. It is a sad day in the NFL because of his passing. But why don't we move on, and let's bring on a caller calls in weekly, and it's our good friend Jude. So, Jude, Dennis and Tyson with Jet Nation Radio, what do you got for us tonight on our New York Jets? You want to talk about rules changes, and I'm sure you want to talk about Vic as well.
Oh, yeah. Well, the first thing, I guess I'll start with the rule changes, since that's easy enough. I never really understood why the NFL wants to – I mean, I can understand the rationale changing the rules for no dunking since Jimmy Graham did break that goalpost the one time, but it seems as though – they're trying to make the people robotic. I don't know. It just seems like an odd rule to change, especially with the whole concerns about player safety and whatnot, and we're changing dunking the ball. I mean, it doesn't make much sense.
Jude, you know, so, Jude, I'm so glad you called about this, because this really pissed me off. Because, you know, it's like the NFL tries to create these rules, but if you go on the NFL Network, all the highlight reels show a touchdown and the guy celebrating. If you go on Madden, all these things they make money off of include player celebrations and player taunting. So to me, it's so hypocritical. It's like, you know what, you want, like you said, you want these guys to be robots. What's the next thing? You know what? You score a touchdown, you can't smile, you must walk back, take five paces, and sit down. I mean, it's absolutely friggin' ridiculous.
It's something. I mean, I would be surprised if it's one of those rules that's just, like, not really enforced all that much. I mean... There are many rules, and there are some enforced, some not. I don't think this one's going to be enforced as much as the NFL wants it to be. That's just me, though.
So what do you got on Vic, Jude?
Oh, well, with Vic, well, I think it's a good signing, to be honest. I think it's the perfect signing we need, so to speak. And what was I going to say? I'm very tired today. I was going to say,
Well, shoot, I'll cut you off. I got a question for you because Rex Ryan came out today and he made several statements. Me personally, they were kind of statements I didn't want to hear. What are your thoughts about him saying that Michael Vick can start week one?
Oh, well, I mean, if Michael Vick beats out Geno and if he starts week one, he starts week one. I mean, I wouldn't put it so much of an indictment of Geno's ability as much as an endorsement of Vick's ability, so to speak. I mean, last year Vick did beat out Nick Foles last year, and we all know how that turned out. Vick gets hurt, Foles comes in and looks like freaking Peyton Manning on steroids. So, I mean, it's not as bad as you make out to be. Vick does start week one. I don't think it is a huge indicator of Geno's ability. That's me, though.
Do you have any hesitancy because of Vick's past? I mean, for me personally, you know, he paid his debt to society. For me, it's not an issue. For me, with Michael Vick, it's about his ability on the field. I really don't want to feel too much of the off the field stuff. Is that any kind of concern with you? Like any kind of the off the field distractions?
Not really. I mean, aside from very classless New York Post and New York Daily News headlines about Vick's past, it doesn't really concern me all that much. I mean, what he does on the field is good enough for me. What he does off the field, I mean, he's not going to – I highly doubt he's stupid enough to kill dogs again, so that won't be a problem. And it really hopefully won't be discussed as much in the near future, but New York media is going to discuss it for no reason.
And I guess my last question for you, because I was real curious to your take on these things, is, you know, at some point you'd like to hear – me personally, I'd like to hear Rex support Geno just a little bit. I mean, he initially said, you know what, it's going to be tough to beat Geno, which was a nice compliment. And then today he kind of said, you know, if Mike Vick could start, would you prefer Rex to say, you know what, this is Geno's job to lose? Kind of give the kid a little confidence. I mean, from everything you see, he's working hard, he's going to quarterback camps, he's doing all the right things. I mean, would you want to see Rex just give almost a little bit of confidence to Geno, or you like the way he's handling this?
I like the way he's handling this. What he says in public isn't always indicative of what he says in private to Geno. I mean, we've seen this with numerous other players with regards to many different things. So don't call him in public. I mean, at least so that way the media doesn't say, oh, Geno's the star. Oh, we're calling him. Oh, we're making the same mistakes as Sanchez. That's the kind of distraction we don't really need. So I like the way Rex is handling this. And honestly, as I said before, I like the move. It's better than having someone like Mark, like Brunell or Garrard here, who hasn't played in like years and looks like a high school teacher. So I like the move we made with signing Vick. I think it will help us in the long run.
All right, Jude, listen, I got a question for you just quickly to wrap up. Now, it looks like it's been reported now that maybe DeSean Jackson is going to end up staying with the Eagles and all this stuff is kind of blown over. But, you know, let's just hypothetically put him in the mix here. Let's just say he got cut, okay? And my question to you is this. I know you've been a fan of bringing him in. And look, talent-wise, I don't think anybody's against bringing him in. We all know that there's a red flag out there. If he were to be cut, you know, one of their best receivers, they decided to part ways with him. What would you, if you're John, remember, you're John Izik, now your job is on the line here, so to speak. You know, everything you do affects your job status, okay? And you got to show Woody Johnson that you got to say, listen, we got to give this guy this, and this is what's right. Now, what kind of contract would you offer DeSean Jackson, meaning like years and guaranteed money? Would you want to kind of give, and again, this goes back to Dominic Rogers Cromartie a little bit, so let me preface it by saying this. Izik understood that Dominic Rogers Cromartie had five mediocre seasons in the NFL, including two very bad ones with the Philadelphia Eagles. And in the walk year of his contract, had a pretty decent year. And he's a guy who talked about retirement. So he was concerned about giving him a lot of guaranteed money because then you're stuck with him, and what if he dogs it? You know, and so he gave him kind of a one-year show-me deal, and the Giants decided to give him, you know, basically 2 years, if not three. They're really going to be stuck with him for salary cap purposes. So as far as DeSean Jackson goes, and you're John Izik, and you have to make the decision, are you willing to maybe give him a one-year deal, and if you get beat out, okay? Or are you willing to give him like a two-year deal with guaranteed money and cross your fingers and hope that he doesn't just say, all right, I got my money, I'm just going to, you know, take it easy now?
One-year deal, I wouldn't give him a one-year deal. He's done too much to just warrant a one-year deal and has been relatively consistent throughout his entire career with Cobb and Vince Young throwing to him when Vic was hurt. So I would be more in favor of giving him a two-year deal maybe.
So you wouldn't be concerned about the guaranteed money? I'm saying both. So let's say 2 years, $18 million, $9 million apiece, both guaranteed, fully guaranteed, so you can't cut them and get out of it, okay? So that's what I'm saying. This is about guaranteed money. This is what he wants.
Oh.
So 2 years, say $9 million guaranteed. I'm not saying about the – look, you could give him 10 years if you want. I mean, if it's not guaranteed, it doesn't mean much. I'm talking about guaranteed money. Would you give him a two-year contract with guaranteed money? And then he says, I got $18, $20 million coming my way guaranteed. I could play hard or – this is so with that in mind, what would you do?
That's a good question. I mean,
tough
on first glance – on first glance, yeah, I would give him that deal, but maybe not all of his money guaranteed, maybe half of it, 75% of it guaranteed. I mean, I don't work NFL contracts very much, but maybe 50 to 75% of that deal guaranteed because I think he would deserve it, and I don't get the feeling that he would just simply dog. He doesn't seem to be, like, kind of just dogs it because of money issues.
Oh,
yes.
Jude, you didn't listen to our show with Joel Curry because he said that he dogged it in 2011. Joel Curry said it, not us, Joel Curry. He dogged it in 2011. And you know what, Jude, my point is this. If another team is offering him more money and the Jets want to get him and they can beat him and John Idzik walks up to Woody Johnson and says, this contract gets DeSean Jackson in the door, you are going to be concerned if you gave him 2 years of guaranteed money that he might dog. Listen, Jude, we got another call on the line. We always appreciate you calling in Jet Nation Radio. Great insight as always. And, you know, please keep up the tweets. We love to follow you on Twitter, and we love the support. So thank you very much for calling in the Jet Nation Radio tonight.
Thank you. You both have a good night now.
All right, take care. All right, that was our buddy Jude from North Carolina. Yeah, I mean, that's a big – see, again, this is like the thing with the salary cap, and people are going nuts, and you get people – well, they just have the salary cap space, and they let Dominic Rogers, Cromartie walk out the door. Look, it's not that simple because when you – like even Eric Decker – like most people think, right, Tyson? Most people think the Eric Decker signing. I haven't heard one person say, oh, the Jets got fleeced. They think it's kind of fair, the amount of money that Decker got. Decker got a nice deal, a $36 million deal, $15 million guaranteed. But you know what? Eric Decker could walk in the door and say, hey, I got a reality show and I got a beautiful wife who's a country singer. I got my $15 million coming to me. I don't care. I'll just dog it. I don't care. I don't want to play out my contract. Or what if Eric Decker suffers, you know, let's pray this doesn't happen. What if Eric Decker suffers a career-ending injury in training camp? You know what's going to happen? The Jets have to eat that $15 million, and then they got to replace him. I mean, again, this is what I'm talking about with resources. Resources, Tyson. The Carolina Panthers, I challenge anybody out there, go look at the Carolina Panthers roster. They got no left tackle. They got one wide receiver now, Jericho Cotri, is going to be 33. And we know we love Jericho, but he's not exactly a game changer. Their secondary is a complete mess. They lost Captain Marlin. They lost Michael Mitchell. They're going to lose Godfrey, their other safety. They're probably going to have to cut him to save salary cap space. And they have no money. Again, they are in huge trouble because they have holes. They wish they had the Jets secondary. They wish they had the Jets receivers. And they wish they had the Jets money. They're lacking all three. Kind of reminds me of a team that we had a few years ago. But, Tyson, I'm going to bring on another person here. Another good friend of the show, and I got to find something for him. You know, here we go. Here, this guy personifies him. This personifies this person.
Hello, you play to win the game. You don't play to just play it.
And it's Joe from Long Beach. You know what? He plays to win the game. He doesn't just play to play. So, Joe, Dennis and Tyson, Jet Nation Radio, welcome aboard. Always glad to have you. And you want to talk a little bit about Michael Vick tonight?
Yes, yes, yes. I want to thank you guys again for having me on. I love that intro. I loved Herm. after signing Vic, I know what I said last week on the show. I really didn't want him. I thought Gino would be starstruck. I'm really sitting back, and I really looked at the move, and I analyzed it. And, you know, I can admit when I'm wrong, and I was wrong. I think that Vic was an absolutely good signing, a very good signing. He's going to push Gino. And if Gino falters or doesn't earn the job, Vic can definitely step in and make things happen. He's a legitimate backup quarterback. He's not one of these guys we signed that, yeah, he's going to come in and he looks all right and he has a decent arm. Vic can still play in this league. He may not be as great as he was when he was in Atlanta, or he may not be that same player. He's still a pretty good quarterback, and he knows the scheme. Marty Morningwig knows, you know, knows what to do with him and knows what, you know, to put him in the best situations. And I really like the signing, especially if he can, I don't know, possibly maybe lure DeSean Jackson to the Jets, if that helps. I have no issues with that either.
I guess, Joe, my question is, and I agree with you. I mean, I like the idea. I mean, he came in, it's a one-year deal. He comes to the right price.
Yeah.
I guess my question, I mean, for me personally, if Vic is starting week one, the Jets have a huge issue, because that means Geno didn't take his game to the next level. And then we're kind of stuck at no franchise quarterback. The future's still uncertain because then you don't know what you have with Geno. I guess, how would you handle this going forward? Like, today Rex made comments where it's like, you know, Mike Vic could be the starter week one. It's an open competition. Would you keep going that route where it's going to be kind of the media is going to be there the whole time with this quarterback controversy, or would you start leaning towards starting supporting Geno a little bit, saying, hey, you know what, it's his job to lose. I want to see the best out of him. It's his job. You know, Mike Vick's got to play lights out to do it. I mean, how would you handle it if you're Rex Ryan going into training camp?
I would honestly handle this as a just an open competition. And I know that creates kind of the circus atmosphere. That's one of the reasons I said I didn't want Vic signed. But at the end of the day, we need to put the best product out on the field. Like just like the intro just played, that's exactly how I feel. You play to win the game. You do everything that you need to do to win. So if Mike puts us in a better position to win than Geno does, and if he beats Geno out, just like Mark was going to do before he got hurt, then you start Mike Vic. And just because Geno does not start, if he doesn't start week one, that doesn't mean that we have issues. Some quarterbacks take time to progress. You know, everyone wants to name guys, big-time guys. A lot of those guys had time to sit on the bench and sit back and look the game and learn the game from other people. This might be Geno's year if he doesn't beat Vic out, where he sits on that bench or, you know, and gets time to kind of learn the game maybe from another perspective. I can look at it from that way as well, but that doesn't mean, oh, God, we need to go draft another quarterback next year. It just may mean that Geno may need to take time to sit back. But I honestly think that Geno can beat him out. I think that Geno has all the tools. I think that we have yet to see the best in Geno because we haven't surrounded Geno with the best, you know, talent that we could have from an offensive line perspective or from a weapons perspective. So, again, if Geno sits, that's fine. And if Vic comes in and plays, that's fine too. I figure it's a win-win for us. It really, really is. I just want us to get started.
I mean, I agree with you to a certain extent. I guess one question is kind of the obligatory question that we have to ask everybody is, for me personally, the off-the-field issues, I mean, I really don't have – I mean, we're all dog lovers. We all – you know, at this point, everybody understands what Mike Vick did. It's no secret. He did this – he had the same resume when he was in Philadelphia. But, you know, So for you, is this – or do you have any concerns about his off-the-field issues?
Absolutely not. And I really think that – I'm not saying – I think as of now, it's really being kind of blown out of proportion because the man is – he's done his time, okay? He paid his debt to society. Let's move on. There's guys in the league that have done worse than that. I mean, I remember when Dante Stallworth killed a man. Did we forget about that? You know, he had issues off the field as well. And when he was a free agent, there were Jets fans that were pondering to get him to the Jets. And there's other guys in the league that have done – you know, have done things as well, and it hasn't followed them as much as it has Vic. I get that Vic, again, I'm not condoning anything that Michael Vick did. I thought it was wrong. But once a man has laid his heart down and said, look, I was wrong, he's admitted that he was wrong, he's done every single thing you could possibly do to rehabilitate his image, he's apologized to everyone, and he's paid his debt to society, you forgive that man and you move on. That's all we can do. Let's let him move past that, constantly bringing it up, constantly throwing it in his face. That's ridiculous. He's done everything he needs to do to get back to where he needs to be. So let's just move on. There's no off the field problems really with Michael Vick. He's paid his debt. Let's move forward.
Yeah, and I agree with you. I mean, one of the biggest stories that people don't seem to focus on is that, you know, Michael Vick emerged as a leader, as a valued locker room leader in Philadelphia. A lot
exactly.
of players looked up to him. I mean, he rallied the troops. And then when Nick Foles beat him out, he was a role model. He mentored the kid. He caused absolutely no distractions whatsoever. So, I mean, I think people like to take a stand. They like to go on their soapbox and do all these things. It's great for the instant headlines. But, I mean, at some point you got to move on, and, you know, I'm ready to do that. I guess my last question for you, and this is going to involve numbers, so I know Dennis is going to get involved in this, is you mentioned DeSean Jackson earlier, and that's the big name. I mean, now there's reports that he may stay with the Eagles, which, you know, a lot of this could be posturing.
Yeah.
I mean, basically, in my eyes, I mean, we all know that DeSean Jackson can be a diva, but his talented, I mean, is
is off the charts. He's a legitimate game breaker. So my question for you is, what do you give up to give him in terms of a draft pick? And then he's going to want a new contract. I mean, he has no guaranteed money going forward. That's a huge issue for him. So the question is, what kind of draft compensation do you give him? And then what kind of contract do you give him?
Okay. I'm looking at, from what I've read that we've offered the fourth and fifth round pick. I think that that's decent. I think we go into the draft because, honestly, I think that that would be the best time to get him. I think we go into the draft, we see how the draft falls. I don't think that there's a third-round talent that is going to be better than what we get from DeSean Jackson. I'm on the record of thinking that if we get DeSean Jackson, I really think we'll be contenders. I really do. That kid is amazing. I used to see him in person. He went to the same high school I went to. We grew up in the same city. I think he's an amazing wide receiver. His speed, everything that he brings, his athleticism, every single thing that he would bring to the Jets is exactly what we need. So if we can't get him for a fourth and fifth rounder right now, and again, like you said, that could be posturing right now. Okay, let's wait our time. If that draft comes around and we can get him for a third rounder, and that's all they want because that's reportedly all that they want, and we can throw that and get him, throw it and get him. You're not going to get a third round talent that's going to bring what he brings to your team right now. As of right, there may be guys in that draft. We never know who they may turn out to be. But I'm saying right now, if you look at the draft, right now, there's not a guy that you can say, you know what, this guy is going to give me exactly what DeSean Jackson gave the Eagles, 1,300 yards. He was a leading receiver. I mean, ridiculous. You're getting a number one receiver in this league for a third-round draft pick. As far as compensation on the contract-wise, I'm looking at just same thing I think that Jude was saying. It was like 75%. I'm going 85% money guaranteed. Because, honestly, all his distractions, I'm rolling the dice. I'm rolling the dice right here.
You're rolling the dice for someone else's job.
I am rolling. This is how much I want. You know, I'm cheap. I am not for paying anybody. But let me tell you something. We have not had speed like he could bring to us since Lavernius Coles. We have not had this type of wide receiver in a while. And we are known for missing on wide receivers in the first round, first and second. We drafted Stephen Hill and passed up that kid that plays in Chicago right now. So what I'm saying
Alshon
is,
Jeffries.
Alshon Jeffries. We drafted Hill over Jeffries. You know, we passed up Cordell Patterson that last year, and I was screaming for that guy. I wanted him to be on the Jets so bad. I'm saying 80% guaranteed. Guaranteed
80%.
That's all the kid wants. That's all it wants.
Okay, Joe. Hold on a second, Joe. I'm just gonna Joe. We gotta kind of wrap this up. Really great insight for you as always. But if under his current contract, if the Jets were to trade for his current contract and get and guarantee 80% of his current contract, which he has 3 years left, that's over $20 million guaranteed. I'll tell you, Joe, right now. If I'm John Idzik and my job's on the line, I am not trading a third round pick. I know that he talent wise, right now, a third round pick. DeSean Jackson has more talent, but he's got a history of concussions. There's got to be a reason why the Eagles want to get rid of him. I'm not giving him $20 million guaranteed so he can dog it and retire and say, you know what, thank you very much, Jets. Nice using you. And, in fact, Drew Rosenhaus is suing DeSean Jackson because he borrowed $400,000 from him. So, you know what, I'm very against red flags. I hear what you're saying, Joe. Talent-wise, great, off the field. I don't like the risk versus reward. I'm more of the risk, worried about the risk. You're more concerned about the reward, and you think the reward outweighs the risk. But, Joe, listen, we got to run. We got another caller on the line. Appreciate you calling in, as always, from Long Beach. Are you planning on coming out to a game again this year, Joe, which I hope you are?
I definitely am. I'm definitely going to try to see us when we come out to San Diego, too, as well. But I'm definitely planning out a game. I'll let you guys know. I'll definitely let you guys know when I'm coming out there.
Okay, Joe, listen, appreciate it as always. Thank you for calling in Jet Nation Radio tonight. We'll talk to you soon, buddy.
All right, thank you guys so much again. Peace.
All right, peace to you too, brother. All right, Tyson, quickly before we get to our next caller, we know we have a caller holding on the line. I want to get into something, and maybe we can get into it with the caller too. You know, the cornerback situation with the Jets, and, you know, everybody's flipping out. Like, you know what, Antonio Cromartie, all I heard about Antonio Cromartie last year was how bad he played, right? How he was terrible, how he was toast. And then he came back, and he had a chance to come back to the Jets. Now, he signed with the Cardinals for a maximum of $3.75 million. But the Jets let him walk. Now, let me ask you this. If John Idzik thought he was worth $5 million, don't you think he would have signed him for $5 million? Who knows Antonio Cromartie the best? Who understands what he's worth better than the Jets do? If they're in dire need of a cornerback, and Antonio Cromartie fits the bill, why wouldn't John Idzik bring him back for $4 or $5 million? There had to be a reason why they didn't bring him back. And everybody is just freaking out. Like, you know, basically this defense is the same except for they don't have Cromartie. It's exactly the same except they don't have Cromartie. And they're freaking out like, oh, my goodness, they didn't bring Cromartie. They didn't sign Dominic Carter as Cromartie. They tried to sign Vontae Davis, who screwed him over, okay? They had a deal in place, and Vontae Davis went back to the Colts and screwed him over and signed with them because he never wanted to leave the Colts. So what did John Idzik do wrong? If Antonio Cromartie isn't worth the money and they know that, why sign him back?
No, Dennis, and this is one where I completely agree with you on. It's like, if you look at the Jets, if there's one thing Rex Kryn and Dennis Thurman know, it's defense. They know what they have. They know what they need. And I agree with you. Cromartie didn't break the bank in Arizona. I mean, he didn't set the records in terms of his salary. So I agree. I think they saw something where it was like, you know, if this is a red flag, maybe they want to get younger. Maybe they want to get more athletic. I don't know what it is. I mean, well, maybe not athletic. Maybe they want to get younger, more speed, maybe more physical. You know, I completely agree.
Maybe they
worry
about the hip.
Exactly.
Maybe they know something about the hip.
You know, for me, I'd rather see them add Chris Clemens as a safety, as more insurance in the secondary, than worrying about adding a veteran, you know, a cornerback. I mean, you mentioned, I know there was talk of Jonathan Joseph, which I mean, if you want to touch
on
that.
Yeah, I
want
to get into that.
Yeah,
no, I do.
There's talk on that. So there's other options out there, but I agree with you. Sometimes we forget, like, everybody's panicking. I mean, on the offensive side of the ball, I'm still panicking. I still want to address tight end. I still want to address receiver. But at some point, you got to trust Rex Kryn. I mean, this guy's a defensive genius. Dennis Thurman's very solid. They have some players there, but they know what they need, know what they want on defense. So in March, I'm not going to panic yet. I think they're going to get what they need. So, I mean, Dennis, is Jonathan Joseph an option?
Well, look, I mean, the Jets are definitely looking at, they know he's going to get released, okay, or potentially released. So they want to give up a draft pick next year, a conditional pick, a very late one. They don't want to give up much for him. And they also don't want his contract. His contract is huge. He's going on 30. But they think he can fit the mold. So they want to get him on the cheap. They want a restructured contract, and they want a conditional 2015 draft pick. That's what they want. That's what they want. And you know what? Maybe the Texans told him to get lost. This is what I was told. Okay? This is the information that I have. All right? So who knows if it's going to work out. Maybe later on, again, these things usually kind of, you know, start to come to a head by the draft. So maybe that is an option, and so they have him for the 1 year at whatever price they feel comfortable with, and they feel that he'll work in the system as a veteran guy who can play press man coverage. But, you know, they obviously feel that he's a better fit than Cromartie because they're willing to try to at least approach the Texans about working something out. So, you know, we'll see what happens there. Here's another thing I want to get into quickly, and then we'll bring our caller on, is I believe that the Jets are going to have 50 sacks this year. I believe that, Tyson. And I don't. And I know, you know, Darrelle Revis and his $12 million. What did $16 million get him with the Buccaneers? By the way, he was the third best player on the Buccaneers defense. Levante David and Gerald McCoy were both better than him. And also, people say, well, they didn't use him right. I love that. They didn't use him right. That's the Nnamdi Asamoah excuse. Everybody always has an excuse. I'll call it the Nnamdi Asamoah excuse. I wonder when he's up there in Patriot land and they see what they get, and they wonder when teams just march down the field with him after Vince Wilfork, the family up there, they release him, and teams run all over them, and, you know, it's going to be funny to watch. They're going to wonder why they spent $12 million. Like Darrelle Revis would have come back to the Jets for $12 million, it would have been $14 million, and everybody would be crying next year, why aren't we getting any free agents? So I just wanted to throw that out there. The Jets are getting 50 sacks this year or close to it, and you know what? Their secondary doesn't have to be phenomenal because they're going to have a great front seven after all the pieces are put in place. You have one more thing quickly, Tyson, before we get to our caller?
Yeah, so Dennis, you know, Dennis, I want to give you some credit for putting your name out there with the Jonathan Joseph thing. I mean, you know, in this day and age of, like, the Internet and rumors and all these things, everybody's so skeptical. But just, I mean, we're obviously friends, but, dude, you work hard at what you do. You do a lot of research. You interview a lot of players. You interview a lot of agents. So you do your due diligence. So, you know, I appreciate you putting your name behind out there and going out there and saying something about Jonathan Joseph. I mean, you look at half of these guys out there. Manish Mehta, I mean, he probably has like a, you know, 95% inaccuracy rate. So, you know, I got your back, man. I know people kind of ripped you on that, but you know what? Everybody's got sources, and, you know, I definitely trust the information that you get because you definitely put your time in. So I just want to let you know that before we go on to our next caller.
Well, thank you, Tyson. Look, I just think people that know me, that follow me on Twitter or whatever, know that I don't really make outlandish statements. You know, I don't really put a lot of stuff out there. So, again, All I can say is that if you don't want to believe what I'm saying, you don't have to. I can't force you to. I just think you just kind of look at my record and just say, there's a guy that doesn't do this too often. Why all of a sudden is he doing it? I don't need 20 more Twitter followers, to tell you the truth. It doesn't really change my life very much. But let's bring on a caller. It's a second-time caller now. So, but we do want to play something for him. Here we go. We're going to play this for him.
Ed.
I'm really glad that this caller called back in. It's Dallas. It's Dallas from New York. So, Dallas, it's Dennis and Tyson. Good evening to you, Dallas. And I'm really glad that you called back in, and here's why. Let me explain this first before. Some people told me, because – and not that we were making fun of you, but you said that maybe Oakland would give up their first-round pick for Sanchez. Now, that would be a dream come true. That would be a dream come true.
Yeah, that would
so
be,
we weren't making
be.
Fun of you about that. We were just hoping and praying that you were right. We were hoping that you were right. Unfortunately, Mar Sanchez just got released for nothing. So, you know, that's the way the cookie crumbles. But what do you got for us now? You want to talk a little bit about DeSean Jackson saying goodbye to Mar Sanchez?
Yes, I was thinking about Mar Sanchez. It looked like a trade between the New York Jets and the Philadelphia Eagles. This is about – the Philadelphia Eagles released Michael Vick, and the New York Jets released Mark Sanchez, and the New York Jets got Michael Vick, and the Philly got Mark Sanchez. It doesn't look like a trade without anything, let's say, no money, no draft pick at all.
No, it's nothing, man. It's just once the guys are released, they're free agents, and then they go wherever they want. They have the ability to sign wherever they want, so. It was basically the team swapped back up quarterbacks, and there was no compensation going either way.
There is no compensation, but it looks like a trade. But yes, I want to wish Mark Sanchez the best of the success for his new team. If he can get through the medical checking, that's all. About Sean Jackson, I'm tired of people asking for Sean Jackson to get signed to the New Jets. This is why he is more like a $20 million. If you want to sign for 5 years, if I hear about, he's more like a Santonio Holmes diva, like I said last week. And today I was reading an article about Sean Jackson that we can take Sean Jackson if he can accept a contract for 1 year. 1 year, let's say, $7 million, something like that. I'm not good for contract numbers. But for just 1 year to see what happens. If he's good, we can give him the contract for 2 or 3 years, but no more than, no 5 year contract, just 1 year contract to see
Dallas,
how.
And Dallas, I hear what you're saying, and the perfect rule if that could happen, I think John Isaac would jump out the window and do it right now. Unfortunately, Deshaun Jackson history in terms of contracts, he wants long-term security. He wants significant guaranteed money. So if they say the Jets trade him tomorrow, they say, here's your third-round pick, Deshaun, you're coming to New York. The first thing he's going to say is, I want to restructure my contract. Now if the Jets say, okay, we're going to offer you $7 million for 1 year, he's going to be like, no, I don't want it. Then what do you do? Now you're stuck with the whole, contract controversy, all kinds of problems. I think most teams know this going in that he's going to want a significant amount of money. And if you look at – I'm trying to figure out a contract that he would want. And for me, it's like a Percy Harvin contract, probably 5 years, $64 million. I mean, it's going to be significant. So I understand what you're saying, that you want to give him a one-year deal, but I don't think that would ever happen. I mean, Dennis, what do you think? I mean, I think Percy's going to – I mean, Deshaun's going to want, Percy Harvin money.
Dallas, hold on. Let me just jump in here quick, because we've discussed Deshaun Jackson a little earlier in the show, and we're discussing it with you now, and I think we all feel kind of the same way. This is probably not going to happen. It's looking less and less so, Deshaun Jackson's going to stay with Philly. But, John Idzik, it doesn't seem like his cup of tea to bring on that type of player, to give him that type of money and take that kind of risk. John Idzik is a very pragmatic guy. But I wanted to change the subject a little bit, Dallas, if that's all right with you, and ask you a question about a different position, about running back. Is that okay?
No problem. Go ahead.
Okay, I want to ask you this. Now there's this rumor floating around about Maurice Jones-Drew, who's 29. Sometimes the rumor mill makes me laugh. John Idzik, again, you have to look at John Idzik's GM. He doesn't put a lot of money into his running backs. His running backs aren't that durable. And, Maurice Jones-Drew seems to think that he's the Maurice Jones-Drew of 3 years ago when he ran for 1,600 yards. Would you be in favor of signing Maurice Jones-Drew for, say, $2 million, or going into the draft and drafting a guy who's kind of a jack of all trades, can catch the ball out of the backfield, can, you know, maybe run the ball out of the backfield a little bit, not necessarily a workhorse back, but a guy who can kind of do a little bit of everything, like Leon Washington, you might remember from a number of years back, kind of like that guy, a younger guy, costs you a little bit less, and has a lot more in the tank. Which one would you prefer and why?
I can prefer both of them. Let me tell you why. Can take a Mojo for, I can take Mojo for $2 million, that you said, if I hear.
Yeah.
So I can take Mojo, and then I can draft a running back, let's say, in the third or fourth rounder. And that's going to be the good thing and going to be a good help for the New York Jets. And also, he's going to be a player, let's say, in quotation, I used a player, which is my good son, who did nothing last season. So it's going to be helpful for us. It's going to be a good bet for the running back area. That's what I think about it.
All right, Dallas. Well, okay, fine. That's a very fair opinion. You know, if you get Maurice Jones-Drew in a one-year deal, you draft a running back. You have a nice crop of running backs there. Bilal Powell becomes a free agent in 2015. So would Jones-Drew. You'd have a draft pick, and Ivory would still be on the roster. So that would make up a nice backfield there. But listen, Dallas, we're going to have to move on. We really appreciate you calling in again. Hey, we really appreciate you calling in to Jet Nation Radio, giving your insight on the New York Jets, being a big fan. Please, we're here every Tuesday night at 8 o'clock. You're always welcome to give your opinion on our New York Jets. Thank you for calling.
Okay, thank you. Thank you. Thank you.
Take care, Dallas. Bye now. All right, listen, it's interesting that you got into the running backs a little bit, Tyson, because I wanted to get into Mike Goodson, and I'm glad you brought him up. You know, Mike Goodson actually restructured his contract again, okay? And here's why. Well, first of all, he had no choice with the stuff that happened earlier. He did that last year, and he got paid. Now, the ACL obviously isn't his fault. He just got hurt, and he looked pretty decent, but here's what he did changing his contract. He had a roster bonus due of $650,000 that the Jets were not going to pay because it was due in March. And they're like, listen, we're not going to pay you this roster bonus. So what he did was he took the roster bonus, he renegotiated the contract without it. So he basically gave up money because here's what he's thinking. He's saying, look, it doesn't cost you anything to keep me on the roster. Let me rehab. Let me come into camp and at least let me compete for a spot. And if I don't make it, I get cut, I can probably show another team that I can at least play. So that's why Goodson did that. So he's going to probably come into camp and have a chance to compete. Who knows if he's going to make the team. But it's not really about money because if they cut him or keep him, it's not really that big of a deal. Same thing with Stephen Hill, kind of a forgotten man. Cut him or keep him, salary cap, anything. There's no real deterrent for cutting or keeping Goodson or Stephen Hill. So what do you think about, you know, Goodson will probably be in camp now and have a chance to see if he's recovered from that ACL and see if he can produce.
Yeah, I'd like to go that route. I like to see Goodson come to camp. And, I, you know, Dennis, to be honest with you, I want nothing to do with Maurice Jones-Drew. 1,800 carries.
He
1,800 carries. He wants $3 million a year. If I'm going running back and it's not one of the three they already have, it's going to be in the draft. I mean, get a young, explosive guy that can catch the ball in the backfield. I don't want a guy with, you know, 40,000 miles on his tires. So, you know, between, you know, the miles on his tires, you know, his carries, I mean, it's just, and the price, $3 million a year that he definitely wants. I mean, he's selling his name. He's not selling his ability right now. So, I mean, bring Goodson in. I mean, if he has to get cut, he gets cut. You know, almost like how you're preaching competition everywhere else. Bring in your draft pick. Bring in Goodson, let the best man win, or something like that. I have no problem with that. But for me, Maurice Jones-Drew is just definitely not the answer.
Yeah, I definitely agree. I just think again, people hear names and they go, ooh, names. Everyone's infatuated with names. You know, like Jarius Byrd. Oh, he's only costing $3.5 million on the salary cap this year. The Jets could have afforded that. Yeah, but next year he costs 10, and then it'll be 29. And then the next year, you know, again, it's you know, I'm going to contrast too much. But again, when you sign these contracts, you take a risk. Eric Decker is a risk. It's a calculated risk. Brano Giacomini is a risk. It's funny how the Oakland Raiders. I want to get into this real quick. The Oakland Raiders, they signed Austin Howard. Now he's going to play guard. Right? And he's making $8 million this year. I mean, like, what are they doing? Like, here's two guys, and I know I just read this about Jared Valdir, who was the left tackle, who just said he didn't want to stay with the Raiders. And he went to the Cardinals. And Lamar Houston, with a defensive end, went to the Bears. But they were both two good players, right, for the Raiders. And they became free agents. I mean, I know, listen, Valdir said he didn't want to play for the Raiders. Money talks. Why didn't Reggie McKenzie say, look, stay with the Raiders. We're building something here. We have money now. We're going to give you a nice contract. Here's your contract. Boom. Lamar, these were guys that were good on the Raiders that they should be building around. Instead, they went out and they got a guy like Roger Safford, okay, who they then had to fake, which don't tell me they didn't fake it because they did. They told their doctors, flunk this guy in his physical because they overpaid for him. He's not a left tackle. So they flunked him in his physical because they gave him this stupid contract. And, you know, I mean, just a terribly run organization. The Oakland Raiders, what are they doing? Absolute joke. You know what? If they spent the most money, and if spending money gave you the trophy, then hand the trophy to the Oakland Raiders. But you know what? They're spending it like morons. I guess the Redskins and the Cowboys would have won a whole bunch of Super Bowls in the last couple of years if that was the case. Just hand the Lombardi trophy. Whoever spends the most money, hand the Lombardi trophy to you. I'm going to say this. I mean to say it. You cannot build a winning team. You are doomed to failure if you build your team through free agency. Look at the Buccaneers from last year and the Miami Dolphins. Look at the 2012 flavor of the month was the Buffalo Bills. Everybody and their grandmother was picking the Bills to go to the playoffs in 2012, and they finished 6-10. And let's not forget the 2011 dream team, okay, the Philadelphia Eagles, who learned their lesson, who now are smart with their cap money and sign guys like Malcolm Jenkins instead of signing Jarius Byrd and Nolan Carroll and make a trade for a guy like Darren Sproles. They bring in pieces. They have cap space. They carry over money. They manage their cap well, and they made the playoffs last year. And I'm so tired of hearing about this cap space, and the Jets have it, and they're not spending it because nobody really understands. A year or two down the line when the Jets are doing nothing, like in 2012, why isn't Trader Mike doing anything? Well, you know what? He did stuff 2 or 3 years earlier that are now costing him. Anyway, I just had to get my little rant out there. So now I can cross this off of my list of things that I wanted to rant about. And, you know, the Eagles didn't sign Jarius Byrd. They needed safety help, but they went in a different direction. But I want to bring on a great caller, a guy who's a football coach, and it's Hank from State College. So we want to get his insight on the New York Jets. He's going to talk about a bunch of different things, the wide receivers, DeSean Jackson. So, Hank, Dennis, and Tyson here. Welcome to Jet Nation Radio. What you got for us tonight?
In the beginning, I wanted DeSean Jackson, but the more I looked at it, I don't think he's the right fit. I would rather go after, you know, a guy like Miles Austin. You know, he's got a little bit more wear on his tires. He's been hurt. But he's more of a team guy. And he's built like a receiver. You know, DeSean Jackson is built like a tennis player. You know, what is he, 5'9", 170 pounds? He's not going to go over the middle for anybody.
Well, that was actually one of the raps. I mean, if you talk to – I have several friends that are Eagles fans where, you know, he makes those flash plays where he's going 80 yards on a quick slant, or he makes those big explosive plays. But there are some routes where he just mails it in, absolutely mails it in, too. So, you know, it's interesting you mentioned Miles Austin. That's a name that Dennis and I have discussed. I mean, Sidney Rice has been thrown out there. A guy I like is Jason Avant because he's a good route runner. He's got familiarity with Morning Wake. Or, like, is there any other guy? I mean, Miles Austin, see, what we're facing now is this is the second tier of free agency. All the big names, most of the big names are gone. Most of the big money's gone. So now you're almost doing like bargain shopping where you're going to get better deals. Like, you know, more affordable players where, you know, it's low risk, high reward. I mean, is a Miles Austin a guy like you'd like to consider him, or maybe would you consider a Sidney Rice?
I would consider Jason Avant, actually. I mean, I watch a lot of Eagles games being from Pennsylvania. You know, and he's a good locker room guy. He's somebody that we would need around. He's more of a guy, you know, like a Jericho Cotchery, a team leader. I really don't know much about Sidney Rice, but, you know, I'll go with Avant. You know, he knows Vic. You know, they've been playing together the last few years. And I don't think Vic's going to start, but, you know, it helps to have him there, too, because he knows Morning Wing's system.
No, I agree with you. And that's why, like, I've been kind of, and you know, Avant's not going to come at a big price tag. I guess the other question I have for you, and I'm really glad you called in, is we've been focusing so much on wide receivers, but there's still a couple tight ends out there that I'm really curious about. I mean, for me, a guy like Owen Daniels, I mean, and this is, to me, he falls in the Miles Austin category. Owen Daniels has some talent, but he always gets hurt. But when he's healthy, he has the ability to make some big plays. And then you have a guy like Jermichael Finley, another guy who has the, you know, there's some issues with his neck, but again, he's a legit playmaker. If you're looking at tight ends, would you consider either one of those guys?
Sure. If Finley's healthy, that guy's a beast. I mean, he's an amazing player. the same thing you get. Owen Daniels is a solid player. But like you said, are they going to stay healthy? I mean, Dustin Keller's out there again. I don't think I'd want to bring him back. But, you know, they're looking at Ebron in the draft. That, you know, those are four names that we could have. But like you said, injuries. You know, most of the tight ends that are out there have all been hurt, and they can't stay healthy. But it's the second tier, and you're going to have to, you know, take a dart in the dark on one of them guys. And if it was me, I would go after Finley.
Hank, I got a question for you. And again, you understand this. I think you understand this probably better than most people. All teams in the NFL have a hole somewhere. Have a hole, sometimes more than others. And everyone says the Jets, because people focus on the Jets. You know, they look at things in a vacuum. I mean, look around the league. Every team has holes. And what they need is they need second-year guys to step up, and they need rookies to step up sometimes, right? They need to get some of these guys to fill, because you can't fill every hole through free agency with your cap. Some teams are in better cap situations than others. But here's a question I have for you. The comp picks came out yesterday. We just got to discuss it, Tyson and I. Want to bring you in on this since you know the draft real well. This is a deep draft for receivers. Now, the Jets have 12 picks in this draft. They got four comp picks, which they can't trade, so they have to make the pick. And the one comp pick they got, which was the best one, was number 137, which is at the end of the fourth round, which is pretty much the beginning of the fifth round. That actually, even though it wasn't reported, I know that was for LaRon Landry. That's who they got that for. And they got three sixth-round picks, which is at the end of the sixth round. So my question to you is this. Would you be opposed to utilizing some of the picks that you can trade and trade up a little bit? And let's say you ended up with 10 players out of the draft, but you moved up here, you moved up there to get a player you like. You end up with 10. You got your four compensatory picks and six regular picks. I mean, you know, kind of the quality, quantity, kind of a mixed bag of both. I mean, could you see the Jets doing that and really giving themselves, restocking the shelves and giving them a lot of flexibility moving forward with a nice crop of young, hungry, athletic, quick players, which is what I think they need to do still to build a nice, young, quick team, because they do have a lot of veteran guys in place, I think, right now, and it's about building behind them and building depth and moving forward into the future. So what do you think about that strategy as far as the draft now that the compensatory picks have come out?
I think it's a good strategy. I mean, even 9 picks I'd be happy with.
Uh-huh.
You know, move up and keep 9. Because 10 picks is a lot, 9 picks is a lot. And, you
uh-huh.
know, chances are you could keep 6 of those guys. Now, look at a
uh-huh.
couple of years ago, how many guys did we lose in the draft that we drafted and they never even hit the field? So I think Izdick is going to do a pretty good job this year compared to what he did last year, which he did a great job. And, you know, I'll take those 6 rounders. Where was Terrell Davis taken? I think he was taken in the 6th round. You know, if we can find a guy like that, you know, well, we have a franchise guy. Or even if we could find, you know, another Wayne Corbett or a Jeremy Curley. I mean, Corbett wasn't
drafted. Or Antonio Allen. Antonio Allen was a compensatory pick in the 7th round. He's worked out pretty well. So, I mean, look, you're right.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, it's sifting for gold. It's sifting for gold. But here's the thing, again, we're building a team. And I want to finish up with this, Hank, because I really respect your insight. Building an NFL football team, again, I talked about free agency. And building through free agency dooms you to failure. And what John Izzik is doing is he's building a foundation brick by brick. And he's using all the resources in front of him. Free agency. Boom. Here's Eric Decker. Here's Breno Giacomini. Boom. He's going to use some stopgap guys. You know, he brought back pace. He brought back guys who have some consistency in the offense to have a cohesive unit. He's got a young defensive line, hungry guys. Demario Davis. David Harris is going to be a free agent after next year. He'll have an option to bring him back or not. So he's leaving himself options. He's trying to bring some cohesion to the team. And he also wants to bring some speed and some youth, but he's building a foundation and building a house on top of it that is strong, not just sticking a house on top of a mudslide. That's the way I feel. And people think that you run out, you get free agents, and you stick them in, and you know what? They come from different systems. They don't always fit. And I say this again, and Tyson, laugh all you want. Don't put a round peg in a square hole. Like, if I hear more about Alteron Werner not coming to the Jets, Alteron Werner, in my opinion, you're a football coach, you know this, He's playing for Lovie Smith. Lovie Smith runs a cover two defense, right? Alteron Werner is a cover two corner, not a press man corner. So the Jets were never interested in him. Am I correct or am I wrong in this?
No, you're right. I mean, why do you think the Bucs let Darrell Revis go? He's a man guy. Now they're bringing a cover two in. Not to say that they would have paid him, but, you know, you're right. You can't put a round peg into a square hole. It's not going to work. I mean, when you bring a bunch of these different guys from, you know, basically it's like taking a bunch of people from all over the world or all over the country, you know, and sticking them in the room and say, get along. You know, now you got to work together. And eventually they will, but it's going to take some time. And by the time that they start being cohesive, they're leaving. You know, it's kind of like putting guys in the army. And it takes a while for them to start getting along, and then when they get along, they're a good team, but then they're leaving.
Yeah, you know, Hank, I agree with you 100%. The other thing, too, about guys with second contracts, I mean, second contract guys are usually the big dollar contracts, and you usually hope to get 3 years out of them. You hope to get 3 years out of them. A lot of times you only get two, and then you end up eating money later. But, Hank, listen, we got another caller on the line. We really appreciate your insight. As always, you're a football coach. Again, you bring a very John Idzik pragmatic approach to this, and people are screaming and yelling about spending money. I said, look, it's not about the money. It's about production. Maurice Jones-Drew, if you can go get Charles Sims or Dree Archer in the draft, and they're going to give you more production, I want a guy that can take the ball 70 yards on a two-yard screen pass. That's Dree Archer. That's Charles Sims. That's not Maurice Jones-Drew anymore. So it's not about the money. It's about production. But, Hank, we're going to wrap up. Thank you, as always, for calling in to Jet Nation Radio tonight. We appreciate your insight.
All right, guys, rock on.
Okay. Rock on, Hank. All right, that's our buddy Hank there. And you know what? I mean, Tyson, I keep trying to bring these points up about, you know, building a team brick by brick. He made a trade last year, John Idzik, for Chris Ivory. It worked out pretty well. I mean, Ivory had a very good – he won some games for the Jets last year on his own. Pretty good – he's not making a ton of money. Pretty good trade there, you know, a fourth-round pick. He's brought in free agents. What has he done because he didn't sign, you know, Jarius Byrd to a $54 million contract? Neither did 31 other teams. Why didn't – I mean, again, the Eagles need safety help, and so do the Carolina Panthers. But you know what? They just said to themselves, no way. Now, the Saints, they went on a limb, and – maybe they'll regret it. I don't know. Maybe he'll turn out to be great. I don't know. But you got to make smart decisions. And like I said before, John Idzik makes the right decision for the team, not the popular decision. He doesn't care if the media likes it or the fans like his decision as far as building the team. You know what he says? When the team is winning, you'll like the decisions that I made back in March, April, May, et cetera. So, and I also think with Hank, also Tyson, real quick before bringing the caller on, there are plenty of options out there in free agency. Guys pop loose, cap casualties, guys that maybe a veteran guy who's still got something in the tank that can give you one more year, but he's getting beat out by a startup and they need some cap space, something like that. This is where we're talking about patience. Patience doesn't mean 5 years from now. It means 3 months. Be patient. We've only been in the free agency 2 weeks. We haven't gotten to the draft. Let John Idzik have the whole offseason and then start complaining in September and October if you're losing. Don't start complaining now.
But the other thing, too, that people seem to forget and it kind of gets overlooked is all the guys that he's re-signed this offseason. I mean, he's signed a litany of guys. I mean, from Walls to Cumberland to Pace to Dusable to Cologne. I mean, it's not like people say, like, the Jets have done nothing. The all they got was Decker and the linemen. That's all they've done. Well, that's not necessarily true. They've re-signed a significant amount of guys. It's continuity. It's depth. They're all solid moves at the right price. So the guys they brought back aren't breaking the salary cap, and they all have value to them. So sometimes we look past, like, they don't consider re-signing as moves, but they're actually vital moves to the organization. So I agree with you. I mean, he's making moves. It could be at his own pace. It could be at his own price. But he's doing what he thinks is best for the organization.
You know, I'm going to bring a caller on now, Tyson. You're right. I'm going to bring a caller on. I'm going to ask him a question right away, and it's Mike from Fort Jefferson. So, Mike, good evening. Dennis and Tyson here, and I got a question for you right away.
Good evening,
guys.
I
want you to answer. Good evening to you, Mike. I got a question for you. And
sure.
You're a knowledgeable football fan. You're a knowledgeable football fan.
Okay.
Every NFL team has a 1 through 22 that is real good, right? I mean, maybe some a little bit better than others, but they're 1 through 22 on their roster, their starters, offense and defense,
okay,
are all very good, very good. But you know that during the season, a lot of things happen, injuries. Guys go down on injury reserve for the season. And, you know, guys got to step up maybe for three or four games and start. Like, people talk about signing Darrell Revis, right? Let's pretend the Jets signed Darrell Revis. And what if he pulls his hamstring and has to be out for four games? Well, wouldn't Darren Wall or Kyle Wilson or one of these guys be filling in for him? So, again, here's my question to you. Isn't 23 through 46 or 53, however you want to put it, as important? Now, again, they're backups for a reason, but a lot of them play roles on the defense, whether it's nickel, dime. They play roles. They're in passing situations or run situations on offense. Three receiver sets, two receiver sets, double tight end sets, wing set, fullback. I mean, think of all the different formations that are in the NFL and the roles that that players, you know, have on their teams. Isn't that just as important as having the big splashy name that the guy fills his role and does his job? A guy like Tommy Bohannon, who isn't a superstar, but you know what? A seventh-round pick who's making next to nothing, who can run the ball, plays fullback, and catches the ball out of the backfield. You know what? I'll take that any day of the week because he's filling his role. And I just want to see, do you agree with me? You're allowed to disagree with me. I'll just cut you off.
No, absolutely. And those are the guys that you're going to be able to hoist the Vince Lombardi trophy with. Those are the ones that are going to make the special play, get that fumble, you know, make that special teams play, whatever it may be, you know, get that first down on a week 10 or week 11 game when the superstar had, like you said, pulled a hammy or is nicked up a little bit and you need somebody to play that role. Those are the men. Those are the guys in the fifth, sixth, seventh round of the draft that you get. The guys that, like I was going to mention today, were my subject when it comes to the compensatory picks. When you find guys like that, those are the diamonds in the rough that they may not be the superstar, they may not be flashy, but you know what, they pack their lunch pail and they come to work and they do whatever you need to do, whether it be a fullback, safety, a guy doing special teams. That's the way to do it. And like I said, they're just as important as the first 23, you know, and that's the way you guys are going to win the championship.
So, Mike, now with the draft picks, and the Jets are loaded now, I mean, they have, not only do they have salary cap space, they have a ridiculous amount of flexibility to draft. What are you looking, I mean, going forward, I mean, it's only been 2 weeks of free agency. There's still some guys out there that we've talked about, the Owen Daniels, the Jason Avant, Miles Austin, all these guys. What are you looking for out of the draft, the Jets, heading into the draft?
Well, obviously, like I said, we've talked about this before, and like I said, I know you want to look at defense sometimes, but like the first two picks, I want to help the offense. After that, obviously, I'm still concerned about the linebacker position. I know Harris is good and everything else, but like I said, we need somebody to step in once he moves on, if he does. Like I said, he might be a cheap alternative. We might be able to restructure him after next year or whatever, but I want to find a young stud that we can get that can fill in that spot. Maybe if he gets nicked up during the year, too, like Dennis was mentioning. I want to find a guy in that third or fourth round that we can use. I don't know what names you guys have heard that might be good to step in. But that's what I'm looking at. And then down the line, obviously, you're going to look for those guys, the fourth and fifth round players that may have been overlooked. You know, like you said, you were speaking about Dry Archer from Kent State. Like you said, he's moving up the ranks. And I've seen that guy. And he is magic. He will take a little screen pass and run 30, 40 yards down the field. The kid's got speed. He's not flashy and everything else, but like I said, he could come in the third or fourth round, and it's going to be a lot cheaper than, say, a first or second round pick, one of the players that you might get in the first two rounds.
But I guess my question for you is this, and I agree with you. I mean, this is like last year, Giovanni Bernard. I mean, the guy is just electric where he turns a corner. If you don't get a hand on him, he's gone. But I guess my question for you is this, and this is one that I'd love to bust your chops with, but you're talking, we have this surplus of draft picks. We want to address the offense. I agree. You need a safety. We need an outside linebacker. We need tight end, all these things. But with this fourth-round pick, do you consider a quarterback?
Yeah, and I have a particular one that I'm looking at. I'm hoping that will still be on the board at that time. So,
let's hear it.
Mettenberger out of LSU.
Okay.
I think that the kid's got – he played in the pro-style offense. He's got a hell of an arm. He's a big body. Yeah, he's coming off the ACL, but like I said, that might be going towards our advantage because he will come in the later rounds and still be on the board when we get to that point. I can't see us going for a quarterback any time earlier. I don't know what your feeling is, but like I said, I think we have other needs. But if we can bring somebody in, play in the fourth or fifth round, and develop them, he's one of the guys who comes, you know, or even – Garoppolo
who may still
well,
be
Garoppolo
there.
Garoppolo is flying up boards. I think he might be gone.
Okay,
Mike, but
he might come up. But I'm just saying that's
he might look that's a name that you're giving as an example. And I hear what you're saying. Look, the Jets might look to. Even later, I mean, who knows? Here's the thing with John Idzik, and I'm going to kind of wrap up with this. We're running short on time. John Idzik uses his board and looks at his board and says, you know what, I'm not going to panic. I'm not going to – Trader Mike was, you know, oh, let's trade up and give away all the draft picks. I think that John Idzik is going to be smart. He's going to look. He's going to say, I got value moving up in the draft. I got value moving back, and he's going to move around the draft. He's going to know that he's got those four draft picks, and that gives him a lot more flexibility. He's going to come out of this draft with 9 to 12 players, and you know what? When was the last time we said that about the Jets? I don't think we can remember a time.
It's
they
been
came
a long time. It's been a long
time
since we were talking about that.
We got to wrap up. I'm sorry, Mike. We just got to wrap up because we're starting to run short on time. One last thing for you, Mike?
No, I'm just hoping Mark Sanchez enjoys the Philly cheesesteaks. But have a good night, guys.
All right, Mike. Thank you. Thank you, as always. Take care. All right, that was our buddy Mike, and sorry to come a little short there because we're starting to run low on time. And there's one thing I wanted to get in quickly with Tyson, and you know my favorite thing is numbers, and I got to live up to my numbers reputation. Two things. One, I sent this tweet out. Do you know that John? And again, people want to knock John Idzik. You know John Idzik signed Lijay Doozable on July 24th. Now Lijay Doozable came into minicamp on a tryout basis, and when he left minicamp. You know, they got that 6 week where they do nothing. So nothing happened in between that 6 weeks that all of a sudden made the Jets want to sign Lijay Doozable on the 24th. There was a reason why he did that. He did that on purpose because the unrestricted free agent signing period had ended. And if he had signed him earlier, because Lijay Doozable had an expired contract, which is what you need to be considered a compensatory free agent, okay? So if the Jets had signed him earlier, he could have cost the Jets a comp pick. So he purposefully told them, said, look, sit tight. We're going to sign you after the – unrestricted free agent signing period ends so that we don't cost ourselves a comp pick. So they signed him on the 24th, which was after the period ended. That's smart. That's the guy I want running my team right there. And here's something else, Tyson, I want to get into with you quick, and we'll wrap up with this. Remember last year, for a long time, we've talked about Mark Sanchez, Antonio Cromartie, and Santonio Holmes because of their cap number and the potential savings and would they stay, would they restructure? We knew they were never coming back under their current contract. We knew there was a good chance they could all be released and not be back with the team, and that apparently is going to be the case. Can you tell me the guy next year that the Jets are going to cut and get big dollar savings from?
No.
You know why? Because that person doesn't exist. Here's the thing two people don't understand, again, about spending money. By cutting Sanchez, Cromartie, and Holmes, the Jets took on $13 million of dead money. Now, dead money is money that counts on the salary cap for those three players this year, 2014, for those three players that count on the salary cap for players who are not there. That's what dead money is. That's $13 million that is blocking, even though Idzik has cap space, because he has this cap space, but that money is blocking Idzik. You see, next year, what Idzik wants to try to avoid, I don't think this is stopping him from signing anybody, but next year, he's not going to cut anybody to make salary cap space. What he's going to have is he's going to have almost his whole cap with his adjustment, whatever money he carries over with his adjustment. His cap space is going to be he's going to have 35 players under contract going into 2015, and he's going to have 30 or 40 million, whatever he ends up with very little dead money on his cap. So he's going to be able to use most of his cap. And I've seen a lot of people talking about the salary floor, and they're very confused. There's a lot of confusing stuff out there, and I don't really want to explain it, okay? All I'm going to say is this. There's a salary floor in the NFL. It's over a four-year period. You have to spend 89% in cash, not cap, in cash of cumulative of 4 years salary caps. You add them together as long as you spend in cash. And again, we know cash signing bonuses get prorated, but the whole signing bonus counts as cash, okay? The Jets are going to have no problem meeting the minimum salary requirements under the CBA, period. End of story. I'm not going to get a big long explanation. The Jets have zero problems meeting it. They have two more years. Now they're going to be a little bit under it after this year. Again, it's not 89% per year. It's cumulative over 4 years. But they're a little bit under it, but they'll go over it in 2015 and 16. So, you know, I wanted to kind of – it's been out there a lot. A lot of people are confused by it. I don't really want to get into a long-winded explanation. I just want to tell people it's a non-issue. And if you hear people talking about it, please tell them Dennis Agapito from Jet Nation Radio said it's a non-issue because it's a non-issue. But just understanding next year, I don't think John Idzik is looking at this year and saying, I don't want to win. He's doing everything in his power to put the best team out there and make the right moves. but he's going to be in a totally different situation salary cap-wise next year and moving forward and have so much flexibility. You know what? As far as, again, the finances, I said this, the finances are set for the Jets. You look at a team like the Carolina Panthers or the Dallas Cowboys or the Detroit Lions, teams that are struggling. You know Dallas, do you know that Tony Romo's cap hit for 2015 is $28 million? $28 million for Tony Romo because they have solely mismanaged their cap. The most important thing, folks, in football is managing your cap. And then the second thing right behind it is having as good a quarterback or great quarterback if you can find one. We don't know what we have in Geno Smith. We're going to hope he's the future. We're going to find out. But John Idzik has, one, got his finances in order and set up the team, like the Philadelphia Eagles. Again, team carried over $17 million, and they have $16 million in space now, and they're going to carry over more next year because they're smart. He set up his finances. He's building this team. He's building a team. He's not buying a team. He's building a team, brick by brick, laying a foundation, which he did last year, and now he's building upon that foundation this year. And he's going to hopefully find the guy, Geno Smith, who he drafted, hopefully will be the guy. You know what? If he doesn't turn out to be the guy, it won't be the first time. We'll have to look in another direction. So, Tyson,
hey, Dennis,
that's my little rant right there. Go ahead.
Dennis, I agree with you. I agree with everything you're saying, but I just want to touch back on what Mike said. This is a question I had for you because, to me, that fourth-round pick is huge. And the reason why is I have a funny feeling there's going to be a quarterback available that round that many people don't think is going to be there. So I have the same question for you. Do you think the Jets would pull the trigger on a quarterback in the fourth round?
Yeah, I do. I do. I don't put anything past John Idzik. Fourth round meaning you mean the comp pick that they got, the one at the end of the fourth round?
Yep.
I think they would consider it, sure. I think they would consider it. I think they would consider this more. This is what I think they would consider more. Trading their seventh, sixth, and fifth and going back into the fourth round, right? So they would have actually four fourth-round picks. They have the one from Tampa Bay. They have the one they trade up into the fourth round to get, and then they have their own, and then they have this comp pick, which is more like a fifth-round pick. Let's call it a fifth-round pick, the beginning of the fifth round. So let's say they did that. Let's say they traded their seventh, their sixth, and their fifth. Well, they're now getting an extra fourth-round pick. The comp pick is like the beginning of the fifth round, and then they have those three sixth-round comp picks that are at the end of the sixth round. They kind of fill the gap between the seventh round and the sixth round. So you're not really losing much there, if anything. But if you know, fourth-round picks, I mean, again, Leon Washington was a fourth-round pick. Brad Smith was a fourth-round pick. Kerry Rhodes was a fourth-round pick. Came in as a rookie and started every game at safety. So, you know what? Look, we all know the draft. It's a crapshoot. It's sifted for gold, like I said. It's sifted for gold. If it was easy, every team would just go draft, and everybody would be perfect. Everybody's had swings and misses in drafts. Every team. Look at Deion Jordan. The Miami Dolphins traded up to the third overall pick, traded away their second-round pick for Deion Jordan. The guy had 20 tackles and one sack. Wow, that was great. I'll take what D. Milner gave me any day of the week and twice on Sunday. And since we play a lot on Sunday, I'll definitely take it on Sunday. And let's hope D. Milner continues to take that next step as a second-year player next year, which I believe he will. So, yes, I don't put it past the Jets to draft a quarterback later. I think John Idzik makes moves that he thinks are right for the team now and for the future. And that's why I really like what John Idzik has done with this organization. And you know what? I think the future is bright for this team. Again, it was a long ways to go. I still think the future is bright for this team, and I would be the first to say it wasn't if that was the way I felt, but I don't.
No, Dennis, you know, I agree with you. I mean, there's so many articles, you know, trying to rip Idzik and the ripping Rex Ryan, ripping all these things. It's 2 weeks in. There's so much could change between now and September. Like you said, there's salary cap casualties. There's so many things that can happen. It's like, you know, the draft is an option. That the one cool thing is the Jets have resources and flexibility. And the middle of March or the end of March, that's all you could ask for at this point. There's no doors shut. Everything is a possibility. I mean, the Sean Jackson thing came out. The Jets were players. You know why? Because they have resources. Everybody can be an option right now, which is a pretty cool feeling. I mean, the Jets don't have to go out and make a splashy move, but if they want to, they have the ability to do so. So I'm like you, man. I'm not panicking at all. I mean, the draft's going to come. I mean, let's hope that John Idzik and his staff have a good plan. They draft well. And then there's still free agency. And then there's training camp. There's so many things can happen that it's so premature to panic right now.
Yeah, I think so. And again, that's what I'm saying about patience and you know, Woody Johnson came out and said, you know, Patience doesn't – again, I say this last year. Rebuilding doesn't mean stink. Patience doesn't mean stink. Doesn't mean you're going to be good 2 years from now or 3 years from now. Patience means that you're going to be good this year, but you're going to make smart decisions. And you know what? Again, I'll kind of leave with this. We're going to wrap up another great episode of Jet Nation Radio, Tyson. Just wonderful callers, what wonderful insight. Just love it. So much going on in Jet Nation. It's so exciting. But you know, just kind of finish up with this. You know, the future is so bright looking forward for this team. Again, every year in and year out, they can be players in free agency, that they can be set up. And you know what? Many years ago, people wondered why didn't the Jets get Mario Williams or Matt Forte? Well, there was a reason for that. So we're set up now with a lot of resources, and there's a lot of things that can happen moving forward. And I just think that the team ultimately is built in a manner. Again, Nnamdi Asamoah, not getting Nnamdi Asamoah, the big name. Nnamdi Asamoah, not getting Nnamdi Asamoah, the big name, was a great thing that happened for the Jets and a poor thing that happened for the Philadelphia Eagles. So sometimes names sound good but don't work out. We're going to wrap up now. And listen, everybody, I just want to just give you some programming notes. You know, Tyson and I, we're going to start to maybe focus a little bit more on the draft heading forward. We're going to probably have a draft expert on real soon. We're also going to have Ron Pickett back on from JetNation.com. We're going to be focusing more on the draft, probably a combo of free agency next week or so into the draft, and then more draft stuff moving forward. You can always find us on iTunes. It's just search Jet Nation Radio. You can find us on Twitter. It's @ Jet Nation Radio. You can find us, JetNation.com. Go to JetNation.com and check out the website. Also, if you want to check out our Twitter page, it's @ Jet Nation, and you can find our Facebook page on the homepage of JetNation.com. So many things here, I don't even know. The email. The email. I knew it was one more thing. The email. The email is JNRadio@JetNation.com. If you want to send us an email, a question, a comment, anything you think would make the show better, except for getting rid of Tyson Roush. That definitely would not make the show better. Please send us an email. Feel free. We'd love to get your feedback. And I just want to thank all the callers and all the downloads and listens and all the positive feedback. I think Tyson would agree. I mean, we really enjoy doing this show. We really get a lot out of it. It's a lot of fun for us. And the most fun is just hearing from Jet Nation. That's what really is the thrill for us. And it's great to see the response that we've gotten. And you know what? It gives us some fire and some passion to keep doing the show and to try to bring you the best content that we can bring you.
Yeah, Dennis, I agree, man. The response has been overwhelming. And I appreciate, like you said, I appreciate the tweets, the emails, everything that we have going on. It's a lot of fun. It's always great to interact with Jet fans and just talk football, not the same old vanilla stuff you see on ESPN or whatever else. It's all just – it's new, it's unique, and it's definitely a lot of fun. So, like you mentioned, I mean, I appreciate everybody listening, the downloads, and all the feedback. It's just a lot of fun.
Yeah, and like I said, we're going to try line up some guests and things like that moving forward, some experts, some media personalities, and some, of course, players as the season rolls on, the off-season and kind of thing. We'll try to get some more player interviews on and things like that. So that's just something for you to look forward to. But I want to thank Steve for working the very busy switchboards tonight. Steve volunteers this time, and it's just great having him, and we really do appreciate it. I want to thank my co-host, Tyson Roush, for another wonderful episode of Jet Nation Radio. It was just great. So, Tyson, thank you very much, my friend.
Thank you, Dennis. Man, once again, a lot of fun, great show, and I'm looking forward to next week. You never know. We could have some signings or some trades.
Yep. Like you said, you never know. So, for Tyson Roush, this is Dennis Agapito. Jet Nation, we will see you next week at 8 o'clock.